boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming. Just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slagging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. And have the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slagging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for Brother Jones in that song. You know, I love these young people. You know, I used to hear people, I still hear it every now and then, people say that young people are, you know, we losing them. We're not losing them. That's just a lie from the devil. You know, I've been at this thing for 40 years, and I can tell you, we have come a long ways from when I started. You know, for years, the church was just religious. I mean, the vast majority of it. There was a small segment that has been where we are now. You know, that's how we got here. We started listening to what they were saying. Men like John G. Lake, Kenneth Hagin, you know, back in the 30s, and Oral Roberts and them. And I can't, it's so many names. But they had gotten past church entertainment and started getting into the word. And I'm talking, you know, and they were seeing results. You know, back during the great, what they call it, that first pandemic in 1918, they put some germs on the plague on a slide, on a microscope, and John G. Lake spoke it, and they watched it die on the lens. So, you know, that same power exists now. Amen. Praise God for that. But amen. Welcome to another a day of training day. Amen. This is a day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. You know, giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life, amen, and all the saints and friends throughout the world. You know, I just thank God for the blessing. You know, it's something to live in this age where you can communicate with people all around the world. You know, I mean, we've been able to do it, but not like we do it now. And to not use these mediums to increase and bless the kingdom of God, it would be a waste, you know. And, you know, I just can't imagine God wasting things, you know. You know, thanking God for my producer, Reverend Gerald, overall, amen, my brother, amen. We've come through this thing together, and all the saints and friends. I'm blessed. I'm in one of the rare families. Almost everybody's saved, you know. And that, you know, and I thank God for my, I think about my grandfather a lot, John Maddox. And, you know, he was, oh, man, if I had, you know, it's amazing when you have such a jewel and you don't know it. Because I understand what it's like when you're young. Because when I was young, you know, I didn't think that much of what he had until I got the Holy Spirit. And until I got the real revelation of God, you know, giving honor to, you know, to all the saints and friends throughout the world, you know, and I just say, amen, praise the Lord. Let us go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, we do praise you, we do bless your holy name. Because of you, we are able to do this. We thank you, Jesus, for your blood that paid the price for us to be able to have this opportunity to even come before the throne of God. We thank you, Holy Ghost, for empowerment, for guidance, for counseling, for strength, for teaching and guiding. And we just thank you right now. Father God, we're asking right now that you continue to bless each and everyone listening here today. And if there's any bereaved among us, Lord, we have to ask that you strengthen them with might in the inner man, that you would comfort them, because you are the only healer of the broken heart. And Father God, we're asking right now, continue to look out for those that bless those that are living in areas that have been hit by disaster. Amen, Lord, but that you would encourage them and strengthen them and bless them and keep them and protect them. Amen. Bless them with the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. Bless the eyes of their understanding to be enlightened. Lord, we're asking that particularly those that are not saved that may be listening to this right now for the first time, Lord, that you would touch their hearts. Amen. Bless their ears to hear your word. Bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer to write upon the hearts of your people. Bless this service to be all of you and none of me, to say that which you would have me to say. And I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of y'all can see me, will be able to see me anyway. I'm doing a video and the radio at the same time again. Praise God for that. You know, it's a little challenging. You know, and it's amazing because, you know, I had a friend. He passed away. He was one of the first COVID victims. He'd never been on the Internet. I told him I was going to get him a job at the Smithsonian and hand him a sign and say, this man has never been on the Internet. But, you know, this was intentional by God. That's why the outreach. I'm just amazed because I'm able to listen to other ministers around the world and know what's going on. And you know, it's something that's great that God has got an outreach going in places like Iran. You know, pray for them. Remember, there's a website, Save the Persecuted Christians. And, you know, you got to pray. We have to pray. That's what I'm pushing for, a prayer revolution. See, the answer is not in government. Government needs our government, which is the kingdom of God. And that's what this thing is about. I'm not just saying some stuff to be religious. I'm not even religious. You know, I belong to a church where Christianity is not taught as a religion. It is taught to be a person that operates in the kingdom of God to carry out the will of God, which is, you know, God is looking, this is the beginning of God's kingdom on earth. This is not the end. See, the world ain't coming to an end, sin coming to an end, stupid coming to an end, hate coming to an end, everything you can think of as negative is coming to an end, but the world ain't coming to an end, and we will be 1,007 years after the rapture on this planet. Well, the 7 years we won't spend on this planet, but after that we come back with Jesus. He takes over, sits up. He will sit on the throne in Jerusalem, and we will serve unto him. But you have to get to that level. And right now, prayer is one of the ways that you learn as an individual how powerful you are. Because you're not, when you're praying, you're moving things through the universe, through the atmosphere. You're communicating and putting the word of God out. Remember, when God made the planet, he just spoke it. See, and when you look at Adam, when he was created, Adam was created in the image of God. With the authority, that's the authority of God in the earth. And in his likeness. Now that likeness is that ability to speak. And, you know, I shared a little bit. I will be down the road sharing more about speaking. Right now, I'm actually, five or six weeks, I've been doing an overview. These are detailed, deeply detailed subjects in the Bible. And very few of us, sadly, at the end of this interruption here, go into it. You know, like I say, the people I reach, it's just millions, billions of people that need to be reached. You know, I'm believing God to get a foothold in China. You know, see, this is with the internet. When I go on Facebook and I try to find other countries and try to meet up with people in other countries and try to connect with them to get them to listen in, and I want to write and say, hi to my brother over there in Burkina Faso, Africa, you know, my sister down there in Jamaica. You know, it's just marvelous. But like I say, it's amazing. I can be here. You know, I live just outside in Detroit, Michigan. But I can pray for people in India and have an impact. I've joined forces. Right now, this is one of the things we have to pray for them, is for them to get a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus and for the eyes of their understanding to be enlightened. That's in Ephesians chapter 1. Now, see, when you pray the word, angels come for the word. They do the word. You know, what's that? Psalm 103:20. They come for the word of God. See, so when we put that out there, they can go and do that. And this is what it is. See, the impact that we're having. Now, I've said before, back in July, the nation of Sudan pretty much dropped this ban on Christianity. And they stopped executing people for turning away from Islam. See, what Islam don't realize is that, like Jews, they're not the full product. But again, that revelation will only come when we pray. We pray, then God can speak to their hearts. Because, you know, my pastor, he's set up a church over in Greece, and one church is full of Middle Easterners that speak Farsi. So the whole service is in Farsi. See, because those are also just like Jews, descendants of Abraham. See, which means the promise of Abraham goes to them. See, but they don't know that. See, this is the deep part. They read the Old Testament too. So now, last week I began at the end of my broadcast. I began to start to touch on. Because one of the things that will block your authority in the power of God and prayer is resisting or not paying your tithes. See, it's not a money issue. Because if you go back and you read in the Old Testament, their money was food. They brought whatever the farmer grew, that's what he brought. He brought a tenth of, if he grew corn, he brought a tenth of corn. If he grew grapes, he brought a tenth of grapes. He brought whatever he had, and that tenth belonged to the God. And just as churches now fund a lot of these, people talk about what churches do. People should, especially Christians. I see why a lot of Christians die early. Their mouth killed them. You don't know what churches do. A lot of these help organizations, Salvation Army, Focus Hope, and Volunteers of America, they get funding from churches. Churches, I mean, they don't want to keep them now. Feeding America, all these organizations going around giving food. Churches contribute to that. That's what they do with your money. Ask your pastor. Ask your pastor. Because it seems, so folks be talking about something, and that's what God, let's go, see, this is what he's talking about in Malachi. Let's go into Malachi chapter 3. And read that, because they people, you know, and I get the non-tithers. It's amazing. When I run into the non-tithers, they don't even know this scripture. And I'm like, how do you, this was the first one I heard, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. It says, will a man rob God? That's a serious offense. God only has one penalty. You don't get, here in Michigan, you getting 12 to 20, okay, for robbing somebody. You rob God, you get eternal life. I can't, that to me, I wouldn't even risk that. And this, the other part of it, where, how do you take such a serious issue and not get on your knees? And if you get on your knees, get a knee pad. I got a 3-inch knee pad for those days when I do get on my knees. Not go before God and ask him. He said, come to me. Come to me. Seek me. In all your ways, acknowledge me. He didn't say all your ways, acknowledge your pastor. You look, if you make it to heaven, because that's serious. If you make it, you look dumb before God saying, well, my pastor said. He'll probably deny. I ain't say that, even though it'll be on record. And then he, you know, you're dealing with a human. One of the first things I learned right away when I read the whole Bible, I could not completely depend on men. Because I saw right away, after, by the time I got through halfway through the New Testament, I saw that men did not tell back then, you know, did not tell the whole truth. That's another reason I admire my pastor so much. You know, he know his job is not to coach your feelings and coach you. Well, he coaches you, but his job is not to sugarcoat it. It's the real deal. Because, one, doing what God says, how God says, when God says, that's the key to blessing, right? You ought to write that down somewhere. Because that's all the way through the Bible. That's what you see, repetitious events in the Bible of people doing what God said, how God said, when he said, and you see the results of that. All right, so here we starting off. It says, will a man rob God? Now, he's talking to the children of Israel, okay, which the man of God is going to convey this information. God giving it to him, he's going to give it to them, you know. And you folks that don't want to be under a pastor, God gave us pastors. That's in Ephesians chapter 4:11. If God gave us pastors, if he gave us pastors, and you say you don't need to be under a pastor, you're in disobedience. I'm telling you, the risk is we don't know. The rapture is subject to happen any moment. Nobody, we can't, now all we know is all the scripture before the rapture has been fulfilled. So, you know, God is, all that's being now is soul gathering. And there's a one last person that's going to be gathered, and we up out of here in the blink of an eye. And they're going to lie and say the UFOs took us. But anyway, it says, will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and in offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe to the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much a blessing that you will not have room enough for it. You know what? It's sad that a saint didn't come up with Microsoft and that a saint did not come up with Amazon. All that money being hogged up and spent on foolishness that should be in the hands of God. See, and this is the hunt. They grabbed that revelation and ran with it. See, Satan is good at that. Again, he's able to do that. When you get into disobedience, Satan can run roughshod over you. That's the other thing. See, that if you're going to ignore Satan and his game, you're gonna have a tough time with this life no matter what, because he's a real person. This, like I said, this Bible, I know it seems like they even try to tell you that's all fantasy. No, it ain't. All this other foolishness, baseball, football, basketball, that's fantasy. That's foolishness. You see what's happening with it now. They're struggling to keep it going. That's that, you know, it ain't nothing wrong with enjoying things, but to the point that you worship them, then that's where the challenge at. And see, and this is the kicker. See, you get by, but you don't get away. I don't want to get away from this. I want to get the main points into this. This thing, the word tithe means the tenth, and it belongs to God. Now, a common thought teaching, which I agree with, is that the tree in the garden that God told them not to eat of was a tenth. It belonged to God. The homicide, first homicide, when Cain killed his younger brother Abel, was over jealousy, over the tithe. And it shows right there. See, there was that's the other thing. When a person I know, see, I pray for people when they tell me they don't believe in tithe. I don't argue with them. I quit arguing when the Bible in Titus 3:9 told me not to argue. That was it. That was the last argument I had. If you don't believe something, I don't have to answer for it. You have to answer for it. But I have a requirement. The Bible tells me in Galatians 6:1 that if a brother is taken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest you also stumble. Okay? You know, none of us are perfect. And this is why, but the thing about it is, I think one of the things that hurt it is people try to use it as a money gimmick, you know. Rather than, I looked at it, I was taught to view this as an act of love, giving love back to God. Listen, last week, you saw that when we went to, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 7, and well, in Hebrews chapter 7, it says, it shows you what happened to him. But people are not paying attention to that. But that's mainly because, again, sad reality. Check yourself on this. How long you been a Christian? If you've been a Christian 2 years, I used to say three, but I'm cutting it down now. If you've been a Christian 2 whole years and you haven't read the whole New Testament, I'm not talking about break it down, analyze the Greek and all that. I'm talking about just read it. Just read it from Matthew to Revelation just to see what's in there. Do you really believe it's the Word of God? If you believe it's God's Word, if you believe it, I know, you know, if you don't know the, how are you going to do the will of God if you don't know His will? And he realizes, listen, you're a human being. And if you want an angel to come down and guide you and all that, that's not faith. You're learning to operate in faith. And faith is where you learn total submission to God. Remember, you're going to hear me repeatedly say faith begins where you end. That's that dark area. That's where you don't really, only thing you know is you believe God told you this, and the way you qualify that God told you that to do this or say this or go this and build this or buy this or whatever is because you can qualify it with His word. Amen. So, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I read, if it's in Hebrews chapter 7, 1, and I'm going to just pick up again with verse 7, and it says, I'm reading out of the King James, and it says, without all contradiction, the less, talking about earthly men, is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witness that he liveth. Now, well, I had to go back. Let's go to I do want to go back and read the original event, because this chapter is talking about a person called Melchizedek. Now, there's some controversy. I ain't gonna say controversy. People believe Melchizedek, it was just a phenom where there just was no record of him. Nobody knew where he came from. And that's what it, because it says that of him. You know what? Matter of fact, I think I'm going to read it. Well, no, I'm going to read this first. Now I'm going to show you how he came into the picture. Okay, this is in in Genesis chapter 14. Now, let me, for the sake of time, let me break down what was going on. You know, Abraham had a cousin named Lot, and Lot had gotten kidnapped, taken hostage by another king, and Abraham got his folk. That show you how rich Abraham. Abraham got his army together, 318 people, and went and rescued Lot. And they, you know, he was blessed to God. And when God, like I said, when you obey God, God on your side, you can take your enemy down. I don't care how big he is. You can take Goliath down. Okay? So here he's went and he's captured or took out the kings and recovered all the stolen items. And he's coming back. And I'm going to pick up with verse 16. And it says, and he brought back all the goods, and he brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also, because they had taken all of them. You know, that's how they did back then. It was just basically gangs all over the place. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer of the kings that were with him at the Valley of Shavah, which is in Kingsdale. You know, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God who had delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave, and he, talking about Abram, he gave him tithes of all. Now, this is over 500 years before Moses shows up, before Moses is born, and God gives Moses the law. This is why you will hear people trying to say that tithes comes under the law. This was 500 years before the law. Adam and them was 2,000 years before the law. So, you know, this tithing definitely shows your relationship based on the covenant between you and God. You know, God made a covenant with Abram, which still stands today. That Abram, if you look in Matthew, the book of Matthew, where it has Jesus' genealogy, you will notice something that you don't see with other genealogies, particularly in the Old Testament. And that is, instead of starting with Adam, Jesus' genealogy starts with Abraham. Think about that. It starts with Abraham because God made a promise. And again, so here you're talking about an event that happened before, but then, again, you have to remember that Abraham came out of a culture that were polytheists at the most. I don't know, it's another word for it, but when I was doing some research once, I found that they was like over in India where they believe in, like, they say India has like 2 million gods. You know, I told a guy, I'm like, you, that ain't God. That ain't God. I don't need all that help. You got angels, you got trillions of angels, but he's only one God. God repeatedly, and you read Isaiah chapter 42 to 46, he repeatedly says he's the only God. And that thing is speaking for itself. Anyway, so, and I want to get this, I'm going to Genesis chapter 12. Now, what you really need to remember about this, this applies to Jews, Christians, and known descendants of Abraham. Okay? It says, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy house and away from your countrymen and your kindred and from thy father's house. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And this is 12:3. This is one of the most important scriptures in the Bible. It says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee, and in thee all families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, let me give you a little summation on it. This is why Hitler lost the war. Plain and simple. This is why right now, I don't want to get too much into the entire history of Israel because I'm going to be repeatedly mentioning them, but I want you to get the connection. Is that the tithe is a connection to the blessing. See? So, and if that's the connection, then see, when you neglect this area, you short-circuit your whole life. Satan knows this. You short-circuit your whole life, and you open the door for the enemy. You can make it a doctrinal issue. I don't care. You know what I mean? I do care. But you're not going to, I don't argue with people over that. They don't have to believe it. But look at what's going on in the whole world right now. And nobody can, you can convince everybody else, but nobody can convince me that this isn't part of the problem. Because one, you got misguided pastors teaching people they don't have to tithe because it's under the law. And they, you know what it is? It's that they're not spending time with God. What the issue is, what you find with Abraham is that he was rich. I mean, getting rich, just, you know, that's a work ethic thing. That's, most people are not really rich. I think because they don't want to be. I want to be as rich as God need me to be. But that's, you know what, you when it comes down to it, once you got a place to sleep and eat, there ain't much more to life. You guys have some stuff to look at and for other people to admire. But in the real, you know, if you got a place to store some food and to handle your daily, it doesn't give you nothing. People want status. Satan has tricked them to feeling like they are nobody unless they got something to be admired of by other people. I only want to be admired. I heard a message once called audience of one, and I only want to be admired by God. I don't care because, you know, I'm gonna tell you something. The same people that like you now, next week something happen. Some may not even happen. They might just whatever reason they'll not like you. Now listen, if people didn't like Jesus, who are you? You know. Now all this you say, what does all this got to do with tithe? One, I want you to understand that this is not something that man created. Two, what's going on in the world right now, it's a spiritual war going on. Man, it is, I picked up a new word, it's called bereft. You really have to be spiritually blind to not know this is a spiritual war. Who's president in America don't make no difference, because you got a president, a prime minister, you got this same craziness. You pick a major nation all over the world, and you got the same craziness. And you can't, what are you going to do? Nuke everybody? That ain't going to solve the problem. They talk about China released this. No, listen, Satan released this. But how was he able? He was able, see, this is why Satan suppresses Christianity in China, because the prayers of the righteous make much power available. See, that's the kicker. He know that if we pray, He can't. We when you praying, it's like grabbing the devil by his ankle and picking him up and slamming him like a piece of sausage or something. See, you have to let yourself learn how powerful this is, because if it wasn't powerful, Satan wouldn't attack it so much. Same thing with the tithing. If it wasn't powerful, he wouldn't attack it so much. You know, because odds are, only people that believe God, only people that believe God gonna do it anyhow. And God don't want it from nobody that don't believe him. I mean, it's, even though when it come under the law, it doesn't do as much as love. You think about that. Particularly when you married people, you know, you before get married, they'll tell you. You know, they don't want no cold stuff. They want stuff because you love them. They don't want stuff because it's, you know, we got a document to say we get married. You know, over in Iran, they have daytime marriages. They have legal one-day marriage license. Can you imagine that? That stuff going to come to America. That's because now they'll just show you how they are. They take the Old Testament doctrine of adultery so serious, fornication, that you can get a one-day marriage license. I had to look that up. Somebody talked to me. See, that's why I like talking to people and meeting people from other cultures. They tell you the truth about what's going on, okay? But, again, like I said, I went through it last week. If you can get through, settle it with God. You don't have to take my word. Even though I'm showing you what the Bible say on tithes, settle it with God, because at the end of the day, that's who you got to deal with. You got to deal. I don't know. I heard a man say the other day, he was had these inside connections. He was a chaplain in Washington, D.C., and he's been involved with people that in the upper echelon of American society, and somebody high up explained to him some things that I've been saying to people about these medical programs. And even at that, right now, I had an issue last week, okay? And so I called my doctor, and I can't even see him till next week. So, you know, I mean, what I was saying about that guy is he was saying you better be your own doctor. In other words, you better put your faith to work. That will get hindered too. You know, there's a reason. You know, I'm like everybody else. I've seen all this in the Bible. Jesus said you have not because you ask not. And I thought it was, you know, well, why don't everybody have? When I found out, you know, I thank God. The men of God, amen, especially my pastor that dug it out of the word, you know, there's a reason. What I'm telling you is just a brief overview. This stuff is deep. Because, again, it comes back to the issue of why do I say training day? Tithing is definitely a challenge for training day. But and what goes in with that is your confession. That's, you know, that's a lengthy subject. But you see it throughout the Bible. It's not something that we just come up with some gimmicks, you know. And I realize this, you know, like I will hear people, you know, the same thing. I will hear people talk about these, what they call prosperity preachers. And in a way, they at fault. Because one is that people, they know it's because they got, what people don't know, that there's a cost involved in the productivity of the CDs and DVDs, and then there's staffing, there's shipping, there's overhead and all that stuff that goes with it. And then there's what they do with the money. You know, one thing I know about churches, IRS, you ask a pastor, IRS be on them. Listen, they ain't going to be bringing in no $500 million a year and they not looking. You know, I hear people talking about nowadays how they should tax churches. Listen, let me tell you what happened when you tax churches. You can read in Ezra chapter 7, verses 23 through 25. Now, that was a pagan king. There is a, right now in America, there's a curse for taxing God's people. Matter of fact, I want to read that. I want this over the airwaves. I want this known. Because, you know, there's an event where in 2 Samuel chapter 22, chapter 24, with David was going to, you know, set up a system that's a tribute, a tax, personal tax. That's what a tribute is, a personal tax, really. And there's a lot on that in the Bible, okay? And see, and this is the thing. When the government, see, America, I asked God, you can argue this, and you can, it ain't about the Constitution. And again, it's another area I want to argue with you because, you know, my pastor, when he would say, this is a Christian nation. See, I didn't think about it at that moment that he had done what I did eventually. He had already did it. That's why he said what he said. He didn't say it based on the forefathers and them being some allegedly Bible-toting folk, even though that was the primary, it seemed like the basis for America. He asked God. I've never asked him that question. I'm pretty sure if I did, he asked God, because he don't just take stuff off the shelf. You know, even when he reads in the Word, he wants God to verify it, because that's why it comes out the way it do. Okay? And so one day, I asked God about it, because it was bugging, because see, when he would say America is a Christian nation, I would think about, man, they got here killing folk. Right here, I just read something the other day. They found these, what they call it, pyroglyphics or something like that, pyroglyphs in Oklahoma that are probably 2,000 years old, which means that the Indians been here a long time. We know that they was on shore, okay? So they came here taking stuff. But anyway, bottom line is, they went from killing the Indians to enslaving people to making racism a standard way of life. That's one of the big issues going now. So I'm like, where was the Christianity at? Well, see, because it is one thing, when you look in the Bible, the children of Israel were the children of God, but they didn't act like it. So it's the same thing here. What is Christianity? If you look in, I believe, in Romans chapter 9, we call it the Israel of God. There's Israel and the Israel of God, born of God. See, you know, and here, I want you to get to see who talking here. It says, now I, King Artaxerxes, order all the treasurers of Trans-Euphrates, this is from the NIV, to provide with diligence whatever Ezra. Let me draw you a picture here. Israel right now is in captivity of another nation, of a pagan nation, okay? And they're getting ready to rebuild the temple and rebuild Jerusalem, okay? And yes, I am still talking about tithe. I want you to see how important this situation is. It says, and diligence whatever Ezra, the priest, a teacher of the law of God of heaven. Now, this is a pagan king showing homage to a priest of God who he has in captivity. That's a move of God. See, when you obey God, what he say, if your ways please him, he'll cause your enemies to be at peace with you. See, this is what's in here. It says, up to 100 talents of silver and 100 cores of wheat and 100 baths of wine and bath, whatever. He's telling him to give him these things, 100 baths of oil and salt without limit. And whatever the God of heaven has prescribed, let it be done with diligence for the temple of God of heaven. Why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and of his sons? You are also to know that you have no authority to impose taxes, tribute, and duty on any of the priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, temple servants, or other workers at this house of God. Okay? And, you know, he just didn't want to curse. See, they've seen this thing in the bad. And you go back and you read. When this has been going on throughout history. See, so when the government takes their little money, they need to be paying tithes. when they take it from a Christian, they take it from a Jew. I don't know if Muslims pay tithes, but anyway, they owe. And now let's look at this government. This here scripture and some others is why America never had a personal income tax. You can tax land, you can tax property, you can tax definitely tax luxury items, and you can tax everything around people, but you can't tax people as property. You know, people can debate that, they can argue that, but right now we have a national debt of $26 trillion, and they only take in three. I know for a fact that the government was told in 2010 that Congress was told that, you know, what was going to happen, and God have made provisions for that. So bottom line is, even with your tithe, think about it. Let's look at what's happening. And if I tell you, I thought about something today because of what's going on. And that is, you know, people think that Ecclesiastes 8:11, it says, because sentence against an evil deed is not speedily executed, therefore the hearts of the son of men are set in their ways. In other words, because God don't blast them with a bolt of lightning or cause sickness and a plague to come upon them, they take that as an assumption that he has agreed with them. Listen, God's agreements is in his word. What he believes is in his word. He has a curse for adding to the word. That's in Revelation chapter 22 near the end. And if you add to it or take away from it. And he's omnipotent. His track record stands sure. Can he get it done? That's why he say what he say, because he can do what he say. That's I got to repeat that. That's why he say what he say, because he do what he say. Listen, why wouldn't you want the windows of heaven open up unto you? That means revelation knowledge. You can't get nowhere else. That's the ability that you can't get nowhere else. Favor. You can't get nowhere else but from God. If you had to pay for that, they haven't printed enough money in all the printing going on the planet today for you to buy one day, 1 hour, 15 minutes of God's favor. You have no idea what this is saving you from. And again, you need to understand you are God man, created in the image of God. Go back. You gotta listen. You got to go to God. When I talk about how God created Adam, when he picked up that dirt, he put his spirit in there. Don't let that get away. Go to God and ask him to open it up for you, because you begin to see, because you're here to train to use that little power, and prayer is one of the ways that you get it done. So now, again, this is a hindrance. I mean, I see churches, I see some churches that I think are just an embarrassment. You know, I was tempted to ask God to be a pastor, because to prove it can get done. And that's because I watch, you know, my pastor, he took the right step. The one thing, the first thing a pastor, number one on thing, you want people that know how to pray, because you got to understand in the military and war, if you watch some of the World War II pictures, you'll get a picture of what I'm saying. Before these infantry would go like D-Day, before they would land, the Navy would just launch, I don't know, I think they said it launched like 400,000 rounds of the projectile coming out of a warship. Them things was like 900 to 1,500 pounds flying through the air at 1,100 feet per second. And when they land, they make a crater the size enough to build a house on or bigger. And they bombed them first with that. Then the military went in. So when, like my pastor, he's going to Saudi Arabia. But we're praying every day. Why? Because we're sending in, we're using spiritual missile warfare to break down the stronghold of the enemy, because because really he's going to fulfill the promise God made to Abraham. Remember, the Arabs are descendants of Ishmael, and Ishmael is Abraham's child. And God was so full of love, he promised the blessing on Ishmael. You know, if you read the story, go back. And anyway, God put that, like I said, that blessing is extended. And when we come into Christ, that blessing is extended. They're going to at least have the opportunity to receive. Because, you know, there's other fake Christ coming first, you know. So all this is now, in order for him to be successful in that move, unlike everybody. Think about it. He's going into a Muslim country where Christianity is illegal. You could get executed. They allowing him to come there, not just to visit and hang out, but to preach. Gonna allow him. And the last time he went to Turkey in the Middle East, ain't been. That was, I don't know, I think 2004. The Middle East ain't been settled since because God showed up and did miracles, just like he did with Jesus. Man, I know that's awesome. Him and Marilyn Hickey went over there, and it was awesome. But what happened first? The prayer wars began. Right now, people waiting on the government. The government need help. They need our help. They got $26 trillion. Even for them to get that blindness off of them, of what they need to do. There's some repentance need to recur. You know, you look at the story of Jonah. Jonah repented. The king repented. The king put on sackcloth and ashes, and everybody in the nation repented. Well, you know, and God withheld judgment. That's what needs to happen here. Is that possible? And you read Daniel chapter 4, Daniel prayed, and he didn't even have the Holy Spirit like we have on the inside of us. Well, I don't know. Daniel might have had it. But I know he wasn't the only one praying, but at the end of the day, Nebuchadnezzar was on his knees praying. You know, this is what we're supposed to look at everything through the eye of God. And see, when you, again, like I say, if you at a church where the pastor ain't doing what he's supposed to do, then you need to be seeking God. God ain't going to move the pastor. He's going to move you. You need to move. I would not sit under, you know, my pastor, like I said, we linked in the word. But I would not sit on the pastor. I ain't going to stand on the word. You scared of the word, then I don't know. You religious, you know. You got to step out. God going to pull you out, believe me. I mean, even for me to do this. See, you know, I mean, this is something. You know, I can't want to know how many people going to listen. I had to believe God. Let me tell you something. If God calling you, he ain't going to stop until you answer. That's for somebody out there. He's not going to stop. And when you do answer, then he likes to, he'll bug you, then say, sit down and wait. and with him, wait might be some years. But that's the answer. Because, again, I'm going to get to that. That's going to be one of the rules. That is. I think that's rule number 7, pursuit of the will of God. You know, all these things are the reason I found out to stop Christians from getting answers. And they really, I watch right now so many struggling to have their own way. God didn't, he sat back, you know, he folded his arms and the devil been nutting up and he sent COVID out there. And his folk, some folk, there's a lot coming closer to God, you know. And it's some good things that happen. But then at the same time, there's that segment that can't wait to get back. But listen, that one of the things that you don't want God to do is stop trying to change you. If God stopped, you're on your way to hell. I mean, that's just the real. And there is a time you find in the Word where God said, don't even pray for these people. And he'll let you go through judgment. And I've talked to people. It's sad when you're standing by somebody's bedside and they, you know, all they do, you hear them repent. But then they realize how wrong they have been because it's that blindness be gone. And you don't want this issue, like I say, you've seen that in Hebrews chapter 7, Jesus, you're not handing him money. And right quick, go to Acts chapter 10. I want you to see how important this is. This here is an Italian proselyte. Now, proselyte is a Gentile who turned toward God and started keeping the law according to his word and treating people according to his word. And it says, and there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. This is a good rich man. He saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. Yeah, you can imagine. And people are, it's amazing, people are seeing more angels now. And he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, now listen to this. Your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now that is that. Listen at that. Now the money, you know, the money, the physical aspect is here on earth, and it's telling you some other things. If you go in the Book of Revelations, you'll see what prayers enter the atmosphere. Your words go out of your mouth. The reason you can't, people down the street from you can't hear them because they pick up to speeds of 600 miles an hour. And we don't know really how fast they go. But this is letting you know there's an account of your prayers. When you pray for me, when you pray for somebody, when you pray for people to be blessed. Now, mind you, this is not a priest. See, he is still really like they just, the Old Testament, the New Testament is just beginning. Okay, remember, he don't have a Bible. They didn't have no churches. He's just being, doing what he knew. He was like what it says in Abraham. God said, I know Abraham. He would teach his children. He was doing what he was taught. See, he not only gave, he gave alms. And see, and this is what I'm trying to get. You got to look at the spiritual side above the natural side. Because at the end of the day, if God can't trust you with this little fickle little money, you know, I'm looking forward. I'll be looking. I'm to be able to glorify God when He deliver people. I mean, I'm looking at big things. You know, making the blind, for Him to open up the blind. You don't know. You've never been on the other end of that. I've been on the other end of that, and that is shocking. You know, when God does something, I've only experienced it, I don't know, one, two, or three times in my whole life. You know, that's a privilege. Money is nowhere near the privilege. Being able to access and handle the power of God is. Money is temporary. Accessing the power of God is forever. Look at this. Your money don't go up before God as a memorial, but what comes out of your heart goes up. So what do you want to go up before God? Do you want a memorial like Cornelius? Do you want your prayers to go up before God like Cornelius? Do you want your giving to go up before God like Cornelius? Or do you want to debate the issue about God's sovereignty and His ability to do what He said, that He will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing and you won't have room enough to receive? But I can tell you from experience, I told you, I played on both sides of that thing because I understand that, you know, you don't get it right away. You should just step out in faith. Faith don't mean understand it, know it. It says believe it because the word says it. See, but what I tell you, it's a big difference. I like the comfort of my life right now. I have comfort money can't buy. I do not worry about COVID-19. If I was to get COVID-19, I'm confident it wouldn't kill me. I'm confident it wouldn't last long. See, when the doctor told me in March 2017 you have cancer, I'm like, okay, I got this. You know, but now, why was I so confident? because I have been taught these rules. These are just part of it. Okay, like the rules of faith. Hear the word, believe the word, receive the word, speak the word, act on the word. That's another whole issue. Okay, and you write that down, and it's recorded if you didn't. So coming to the close, I want you to understand, work it out with God. Do not let the devil, see, don't rob God and think that the devil ain't going to rob you, because he's robbing you. If it wasn't an issue, then he wouldn't. And like I say, just believe God. Don't go back to the lesson. Don't say the opposite. Don't let the devil get you the whole stuff against somebody. Don't, because all your friends and everybody you know just got all this negative conversation and acting, particularly in the environment right now with this election going on. I hear so much negativity going on. And all it is tricks of the devil. And if he could laugh himself crazy, he would. Because he's only looking at one group of people, the body of Christ. Ain't nobody else got no authority over him. Nobody but the power, nobody has authority over Satan but the body of Christ. And he is doing all he can. See, he knows it does not matter who get elected, the prayers of the righteous is going to prevail. See, and again, like I say, so what's coming, look at this world. Right now, they're trying to do what? Okay, they want to come up with a, quote, stimulus plan. But now what's going to happen when that run out? They still got the problem. See, they can't solve the problem. They waited until judgment came, and now they got to deal with it. You got to deal with the cause and effect. And God, I'm telling you, and this is a main reason right now. I've seen people, it was a man of God telling folk, don't tithe, and they was jumping all over him. I'm like, okay, y'all think this thing just getting up, winding up. It ain't hit yet. It's just getting started. See, the county I live in is looking at a big decrease in tax revenue. The state looking at a decrease in tax revenue. That they depend on that. Now, to get that going, to keep that going, saints of the Most High are going to have to get it done. And if they can't stand on the word, you know, don't matter. But I know what, if you go back and you look through the Old Testament, you find people like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Gilead, I mean, different people throughout history in the Word that no matter what, they was living large. They was enjoying life. They were being provided for. See, you don't want to rob yourself. If you rob God, you're going to rob yourself. Like they say, that's like shooting yourself in the foot. And right now, you want everything in your favor. And I mean, it's something. Like I said, Proverbs, but it's, I believe it's Proverbs 26:2. Let me be sure before I cut off. It said the curse for no cause does not come to be part of that. It's law. It's like gravity. It is like gravity. Proverbs 26:2. Says, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse, causeless, shall not come. And I'm going to close with that. So, this may be your first time hearing this, or you may have never known Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the one thing that right now, I have been taught on the covenant of Jesus Christ. There's lots of information on YouTube for that. Lots of information. You can go for the Run for Christ website, and it's rfcm.org, and get information on that, I'm sure. Basically, a covenant is an agreement between you and God. And basically, he has all the assets. You have none. But he will share his assets with you. Okay? And he will love you to the fullness of life. And it all begins with you accepting Jesus Christ. So if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you may have, and through the challenges of life and not being properly taught and not getting the sure foundation, drifted away from Christ, I want you to pray this prayer, this simple prayer. It's just a sign, just like signing on the dotted line. And you just pray this, say, Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am lost, and I confess my sin to you, and I ask you to forgive my sin. And it says, Father God, I trust you, and I trust that you have sent Jesus to be my Savior. And I ask you, amen, Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I thank you, Lord, and I thank you, Jesus, that I believe I receive my salvation. I believe I receive my restoration right now in Jesus' name. Don't forget, this will be on my website in both video and audio. That's millennialkingdomtraining.com. Thank God I'm learning a lot about this. I got YouTube. That's R Overall SR Senior, R Overall Senior on YouTube. I haven't tried it any other way. I put some hashtags out there, but, you know, I'm new to this, you know. They didn't have this when I was 20. Well, they didn't have it physically. Anyway, with that, I'm going to say God bless you. See you next week. And above all, like I say, take it to God in prayer. Amen.
I'm going hard for my God like I went hard in these streets. Instead of chasing that money, I'm chasing G-O-D. Been trying to walk in this image since I've been forgiven. Just trying to let my light shine so y'all can see the God in them. I turned away from my old ways, say bye-bye to the dope gang. Put the guns down, open my mind to some new things. When I picked up that Bible, the devil ain't like it. I know that he mad, but I know Jesus excited. Cause I'm about to grind for him. Make sure he first in everything, give all my time to him. About to save a lot of souls just off of my influence. And no, I ain't a preacher, I'ma do it through my music. It's a wonderful feeling when you let the Lord use you. Feeling like Dietrich Hallow, have your way however you choose to. Just let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm a hustler for the Lord, about to re-up with
it. I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you live it wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
Verse 2 is for those who probably know me from my past. Don't believe that I changed because they knew why I got down. Probably seen me in them strip clubs or serving in them streets. Probably seen me flexing bankrolls or swerving with a freak. I'm a two-time felon, what could the Lord do with me? Ain't nothing too hard for God, you just watch and you gon' see. Because a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. Devil had me on my knuckles, Jesus picked me up again. Dust me off, told me I should walk this way, talk this way. And any sign of trouble that I had, that I ought to pray. I ain't worried no more. I tell you, I ain't stressing, man. It's power that I found in God. I tell you, it's a blessing. I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it. Man, I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you live it wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
So now you know I'm a changed man. Got a new game plan, but I still rock, bust icy watches and chains, man. The Lord said, come as you are. He loved me for me. So all you older church folks, don't judge what you see. God judge up your heart. And since he changed your mind, don't judge before you get to know me. Make me change my mind. Too many youth has left the church because they ain't feel love. The very place that posed the teachers are that God is love. How can you say you love God but don't show it? When you can love your haters like your brother, then you growing. And man, I'm growing through his word. Stop trying to do it my way and let God work. And now I'm feeling moving. My blessings keep improving. When I say I'm on the ground for God, you ask me what I'm doing. Well, I'm serving. I'm living for his purpose, giving praise to his name at all times.
Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ.